Psalm 130, Song of Degrees. Out of the depths do I call upon thee, Jehovah. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Jah, shouldest mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Halfway through verse 7. Because with Jehovah there is loving kindness that could be mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and that could be a ransom. Now if we could turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel, and chapter 5, and it's page 1227. I'm starting from verse 18. And lo, men bringing upon a couch a man who was paralyzed, and they sought to bring him in and put him before him. And not finding what way to bring him in, on account of the crowd, going up on the housetop, they let him down through the tiles with his little couch into the midst before Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason in their minds, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who is able to forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, knowing their reasonings, answering, said to them, Why reason ye in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I say to thee, Arise, take up thy little couch, and go to thine house. And immediately standing up before them, having taken up that whereon he was laid, he departed to his house, glorifying God. And in chapter 7, and I want to start from verse 39. And the Pharisee who had invited him, seeing it, spoke with himself, saying, This person, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what the woman is who touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he says, Teacher, say it. There were two debtors of a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. But as they had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them their debt. Say, which of them therefore will love him the most? And Simon answering said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said, and he said to him, Thou hast rightly judged. In verse 47, For which cause I say to thee, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much. But he to whom little is forgiven, loves little. And he said to her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that were with them at table began to say within themselves, Who is this who forgives also sins? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Finally, Psalm 32. On page 7, Psalm 32 of David, instruction. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Jehovah reckoneth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity I covered not. I said, I'll confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, at a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they will not reach him. I read that last passage as a warning, completely as a warning. We just referred to it, and maybe a little. But I was encouraged this morning because we were thinking in one time of the meeting, the thought of home. The thought of home. What does home mean to you? What does it really mean? Oh, it might mean where my parents are. It might mean where I'm comfortable, where I have a comfortable bed. But what does home mean to you? What does it mean to God? What does it mean? Think of a moment for the son, the younger son in Luke 15. Just think for a moment. He left a comfortable home, the parable tells us, and went away and lost everything. Is that like anyone in this room? Losing everything? If you haven't got God in your life, you've lost everything, dear hearer. You've got nothing. You've got nothing. Without Christ, dear listener, you've got nothing for the future. And that's what Psalm 32 tells you. So where are you tonight? Where are you? I know where I am. I know what the Father's house has been like. I know something of the joy that was there. Have you known it? It's open to you if you're not a believer. It's open to you tonight to enter into that house and to enjoy that company. It's open to you. And to enjoy the singing. And to enjoy the welcome. Have you received that welcome? Known that welcome? There's only one way, dear listener. Only one way. What does the hymn say? The way of the cross leads home. There's only one way home, dear listener, and that's by way of the cross. So I read in Psalm 130, very remarkable little few words in God's word. Very remarkable. But I want to speak not exactly of home. If you notice, within these four chapters I've read, there's one word stands out uniquely. One word. Forgiven. I think forgiven is a very precious word to me. Is it to you? Forgiven. Have you heard Jesus say to that to you? That's why I read those two passages in Luke's gospel. Thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. And what does the psalmist say? Out of the depths. Out of the depths. Are you in those deep? Are you in the depths, dear listener? The depths of sorrow, the depths of sin. Are you still in that sphere where you're under the control of the God of this world? Because he will control you. You have to, as Bunyan did, it said in Pilgrim's Progress, have to make your way through that wicker gate and on the path out of the depths. How many of us have had to cry out of the depths? You can look at me and say, well, you're getting on a bit, Andrew. But we had to cry, I had to cry out of the depths for salvation. And every one of you in this room, believer or not, has had to or will need to cry out of those depths for salvation. There's only one way. And as I said, the hymn writer puts it so beautifully, and I'll repeat it. The way of the cross leads home. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Why? We read about a ransom in Psalm 130. That's why he went. To pay for what? For your sins. And my sins. That's why he went. That's why he shed his precious blood. To pay for my sins, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. I hope we are all able to say with assurance, shed for me. Dear listener, you need to Know what it is, that a ransom has been secured for you, and it's been secured at tremendous cost. A cost that is far exceeding that you could pay or I could pay. For the redemption of their soul, it says in the psalm, is costly. And it must be given up forever. The price that God paid for you and for me, and you have to believe it, is the precious blood of Jesus. So what does Peter have to say? We're referring to Peter this afternoon. You've been redeemed by what? Precious blood. Precious blood. That's what we sang, wasn't it? Precious, precious blood of Jesus. Shed at Calvary. Shed for sinners. That's me. And I could go around this room and say that's everyone in this room. Now you say, hold on a moment. How do you know I'm a sinner? This tells me so. The Bible tells me. Well, is the Bible true? Yes, it is true. Not a word in this Bible. It's telling you of the untruth. It tells you in Isaiah 53 that you're a sinner. It tells you in Romans 3 you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. And where was the glory of God seen? It was seen in Jesus. And only displayed there. It wasn't displayed in Andrew Spires. I'll be quite clear about it. I departed from it. As a sinner, you're away from what God set out in his plan. And but what he did put in his plan was your and my salvation. Praise his name. A brother from here was preaching at home once, and he said, hallelujah. Well, I would say the same. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord's name that he saved me from guilt. But out of the depths do I call upon thee. Jesus, when you call, the Saviour of sinners, did he ever shut his ears to anybody when he was here? Did he? He didn't shut his ear to anyone. When the weakest voice cried out, think of Peter, Lord, save me. Did he shut his ears to it? No. And he won't shut his ears to your cry tonight. If you want to call out to him, Lord, save me. And he will answer straight away. He's there. And if you want to talk about your sins, he'll come and sit beside you. And someone once said, if you're in an armchair, he'll sit by the armchair beside you. Come now, let us reason together. That's the attitude, God's attitude to everyone in Worthing tonight. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, mine were. I'll be honest about it. But now, I'm as white as snow. In the sight of God, it's not. And that is the important point. What does God think? What does he think? What does he think of the work of Jesus? God is satisfied with that work. And we need to be satisfied with it too. God is satisfied with Jesus. And are you? Are you? Or do you say, well, it's not for me tonight. I'll tell you something. There's a brother called Dr. Woolston, many years ago. A preacher par excellence. He was also a surgeon at Edinburgh Hospital. He used to preach the gospel to the students. And no one ever went out of that door in those days without someone had come to the Lord. But he said, if someone came in and hadn't heard the gospel before, and they go out without accepting Christ, essentially they are a Christ rejecter. I hope that's no one here. Job says, once, twice, but he goes through two times, three times. That's the grace of the God we're presenting in the gospel. The glad tidings of God concerning his son. My father had a favorite hymn. He always gave it out to the gospel preaching. God waits in grace. Hands outstretched to bless. Glad news from heaven. Yes, there's still glad news to have from heaven tonight. Even though the world's in darkness, though the world's heading for disaster, although men and women are going about in in clothes of corruption. God waits in grace. He wants you. You're here tonight. He wants you. He wants all here to serve him. I often think, you know, on Lord's Day morning, we come together, those of us who love him, love Christ, to remember him. What a lovely thing it is to say thank you. Thank you for the way that Christ has been for you personally. Thank you. And that is what, that's the only thing in one sense Jesus is looking for. A thank you. He's done so much. He gave his life for you. He shed his precious blood for you. I know he's in heaven, and maybe he's waiting for you. God waits in grace. He's maybe waiting for you tonight. Waiting for you, maybe waiting for you to return, like that younger son. And so it goes on. There's no, if, Lord, hear my voice, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication, if thou jar should mar iniquities. Just stop there for a moment. Think about those words. If God was to mar your iniquities in a book, who would you stand before him? Could you? How thankful I am for those words of Martin Luther. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from every sin. And in his dream, who did he say it to? He said it to Satan, the enemy of God. The blood of Jesus Christ. And so he told Satan to unroll still more. And he still put a line through the lot. What it is to be justified, free from sin, in the eye of God. Not only redeemed, but by tremendous cost, but justified. Cleared from guilt in the eye of God. How blessed. It can be yours. I know a little bit about it, not much maybe, but it can be yours tonight if you haven't come that way. So I've already, but he says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. The fear there is not a fear of fright. It's a fear of reverence. It's a fear of reverence. He is a holy God. He's a sin-hating God. It says in the minor prophets, whose eyes are too holy to behold evil. It says in the Bible, and I am sometimes questioned as to it in myself. Well, do I come up to it? The thought of foolishness is sin. That's what it says in the Bible. So you might say, well, where do we stand? You've got a ransom paid. And it's paid not only for the past, it's not only paid for the future, but it's for the present, but also for the future. The blood of Jesus Christ will clear everything in the eye of God. So a believer comes and stands in the presence of God. God looks at as in repentance, because that's a great matter in the gospel. Repentance only. God looks at the precious blood of Jesus and can forgive. Praise his name. And so I just refer briefly to those two passages in Luke. I think, and I'll be open to correction here, they're the only two passages where the Lord speaks to the persons and says to them, thy sins are forgiven. I have looked it up once, and there may be another one, I don't know. But he does certainly say to these two, thy sins are forgiven. What precious words from the Savior, Jesus. And you know, by the Spirit, dear listener, you can hear those words tonight if you haven't heard them before. They're available. He's available. Jesus is available tonight. You say he was in glory, but he's available. He is passing by this meeting room in one sense. He's looking at everybody in this room, including the preacher. He's looking. Is there any answer in your heart towards him? Is there? I raise questions all the time because the gospel is a gospel where questions are raised. You say, well, hold on a moment. If you read the first 5 chapters of the Epistle to Romans, which is the gospel preaching, how many questions are there? I can tell you, I think there are 72 or 74 questions in those first chapters of the Epistle to the Romans. Or the gospel is made up of questions. And what is the first? Where art thou? God would ask you tonight. He'd ask me tonight. Where art thou? Adam was out of sight, or thought he was. He wasn't, you know. God knew exactly where he was, and God knows exactly where you are. You can't hide from the eyes of God. You can't. It's impossible. You can't hide from the eyes of Jesus. Completely impossible. He knows exactly where you are, as he knew exactly where these two persons I read of in Luke's gospel. He knew exactly where they were. You've got a man who's a paralytic, and you've got a woman who is a sinner. But you've got other people around them too, who would attempt to refuse what Jesus was saying to them for their benefit. Those character persons, like the scribes and Pharisees, dear listener, are around tonight. They are around. Beware. But the words of Jesus to a repenting sinner, particularly the woman, thy sins are forgiven. What words they are. What precious words they were to me. Are they precious to you? Forgiven? I think it's a lovely word. It gives to me the idea of the grace of the God I know. Divine grace shining out in all its magnificence. Seen in Jesus superbly, particularly as you go with him through the Gospels. Walk with him through the Gospels. You will see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see it shining out. Shining out to the woman, John, in Luke 7. Beautifully so. He has another word to say to her. Go in peace. Have you got peace of heart, peace of soul, peace of mind? If you know something of the presence of Jesus and those beautiful words, thy sins are forgiven, you will know what peace is. Peace with God, for Christ's in heaven. Object, I think it's attention for me. But he is in heaven. You say he's there, but he is approachable. This woman, or this Pharisee, criticized the Lord. How can he forgive sins? How can he forgive sins? He didn't know who was there. Do you know Jesus in a way that he's able to forgive you your sins? Do you know him in that way? Do you know him as the one who by whom the worlds were made? The person we preach in the gospel is, you go to Hebrews chapter 1, you will see the person who is your Savior. It says in Isaiah, he sits upon the circle of the earth. He views men as grasshoppers. Marvelous. The gospel brings the divine realm right into your presence tonight in the person of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit. It's a wonderful message. Message of love. Have you received it? Is it yours? Do you know if it isn't? Come now. Don't refuse the overtures of divine grace. There's a welcome for you. There'd be welcome for you amongst these who are in this room. There's a welcome. Come and welcome, welcome. Whosoever will, the hymn says, doesn't it? It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be a highborn. Bible tells me not many highborn. Not many. But there's a welcome. And that's one thing I want to make sure you appreciate. That there's a welcome for you. There's a welcome for the younger son. He was one who had got rid of everything. Tell you a little story about that. That passage of the Bible in Luke 15 was being read out by an open-air preacher. And he was surrounded by a bunch of thugs. And he read it out. Oh, they said, that means nothing. Their leader said, wait a minute, hold on. That's me. That's me. And you know, that's the power of God's word. It will bring to you where you are in your soul. The young man came to Christ and was a preacher of the gospel. That's what you can be. So I close just with Psalm 32. You'll find forgiveness is in that psalm as well. But David is saying, the person who's forgiven is blessed. He's also saying, the man unto whom Jehovah reckoneth not iniquity is blessed. But there are those two verses later on. I acknowledge my sin before thee. Mine iniquity I covered not. Dear listener, you cannot cover your sin or your iniquity from the eyes of God. It's impossible. He knows all. He knew where Adam was, as I said. Jesus knows everything. He knew about that woman. He knew she was a sinner. He knew the woman of John 8 was a sinner. He knew all that. And he knows everything about you and about me. Psalm 139. When you've got a few moments, read it. You will find what God knows about you. So I will close with this verse in here. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found. Jesus is available tonight. He's available for everyone in this room. Available for everyone worthy. Everyone in this world. He's available. But what does it finally say? Surely in the floods of great waters, they will not reach him. That time is coming, dear listener. Don't ignore the overture of the divine grace now. It's available. Everything. Salvation is available for you. I've received it. I trust we all have received the salvation which is available at the hands of Jesus, at the hands of God tonight. And may it be so for his name's sake. Amen.